Anna Prohaska, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Hello, so happy to be here.
Now, last time I spoke with you, it was prior to your TSO debut in the program John Adams Returns. That was back in November. And as one of the spotlight artists, of course, you are coming back and we'll talk about that program in a moment. But how has your journey been so far with the TSO?
Oh, it's just been so wonderful. I mean, I arrived in November and I was immediately welcomed like into a family. And that's how I feel. And I just can't wait to come back. You know, there was just these wonderful positive vibes that I got from the musicians, but also from the wonderful staff in the offices, the porter, the artistic director, like the whole team is just so incredibly welcoming. And one just feels right at home. Home and has sort of the perfect basis to focus and to actually try your best at artistic excellence, which is obviously that we always strive to attain.
Yes, oh, it's wonderful to hear that. How has it been, you know, on the side of planning these programs? Because as a spotlight artist, you have more involvement than your regular visiting artist.
Well, it's been incredibly open-minded, and initially I could actually suggest almost anything. Like, for example, what I loved about this upcoming program is that I have this wonderful artistic and also a friendly relationship to the Canadian singer, songwriter and composer Rufus Wainwright. And it was, you know, absolutely natural that this would be an option, for example, to include one of his songs that he wrote for me. And there was not even a moment of hesitation there, for example. So, and then on the other hand, very much open to my, I don't know, Austrian side, which is coming up as well with Mahler and Mozart and Haydn, you know, which sort of represents a little bit my half Austrian identity, which is sort of, yeah, very fitting, I think.
Well, it is an incredible program, and you are involved in every piece on it, which is unusual for the soloist.
Almost. I mean, the Paradis not. I mean, okay. That's an actual overture, but otherwise, yeah, actually every single other piece. So, yeah, that's great.
Well, it's a treat. It's going to be a treat for us. Actually, let's speak about the song that Rufus Wainwright wrote for you, because you recorded his settings of the Shakespeare sonnets. Am I correct?
Exactly. That was with the BBC Orchestra and Jace Ogren conducting, and we recorded it in 2016 for Shakespeare's birthday, basically, and a sort of wonderful occasion to celebrate the Bard, you know, maybe the greatest of all, I don't know, English-speaking poets. I remember traveling to London literally, I think, a day after an opening night that I had in Berlin at the Staatsoper, where we did the Freischütz by Weber, and it was really like sort of basically rehearse record. So we rehearsed with the orchestra, which was already being recorded, and then we had a chance to record, and it was all done in one day. It was
wow.
Really, really huge pressure, but also really, really exciting. And initially, I'd actually only had the experience of recording some background vocals for one of Rufus's earlier albums, which he recorded in Berlin. But that's how we actually initially got to know each other, basically through his husband, who is an old friend and also a director of mine that I worked with very early on in my career when I was 17. And so, first of all, it started more of off like a friendship and an acquaintance, and then the background vocals. And then he decided to kind of rewrite or rearrange his own Shakespeare songs, the Shakespeare sonnets, for big orchestra and classical soprano voice. And that's how the idea came about.
Now, there were several of them. I'm wondering how you chose A Woman's Face for this program.
I don't know. I think I just sort of really fell in love with the melody. And it's just, yeah, it's kind of deceptively kind of comforting and just caressing and beautiful, but it's actually got a huge amount of layers in the text, and kind of goes into a completely different, more ambivalent direction. And that's what I really loved. You know, it's sort of in the beginning you think it's deceptively simple, and then it really goes off on a tangent and really develops into all these colors and then explodes towards the end. It was sort of the song that sort of spoke to me most, I suppose.
Also on the program, Haydn and Mozart, the Cena di Bernice, and an aria from Così fan tutte. Tell us about these works.
Yeah, so at the moment it's actually quite exciting. I'm actually preparing my very first Fiordiligi that I will be singing in total, actually in Montreal in April. And Come Scoglio is an aria that I have sung before in concert, sort of just picked out as a kind of single scena, a single scene that I would sing in concert repertoire, and I've actually recorded it already as well. And I think it's just a wonderful companion piece to the Haydn Berenice, because both women, on the one hand Fiordiligi, and then also Berenice, which is part of actually it's a concert aria, but it's part of an opera libretto which Haydn didn't fully score. He only scored this one aria, but it's part of a greater libretto that other composers have composed. They have just sort of this kind of eruptive element sort of towards the end. And what I kind of find quite fascinating is that the Haydn was actually written after Mozart's death. And one always thinks, oh, Haydn was older than Mozart. He was one generation before. But actually, it's just because Mozart lived such a short amount of time and Haydn had a much longer life, that things like, I don't know, the creation, for example, was also performed after Mozart's death. So I find that actually quite interesting to compare both of them.
That's a great perspective. Capping the program is the titular work, Mahler's Fourth. And I was reflecting a bit on Mahler symphonies and how they seem to be, in a way, their own genre, especially the way that he incorporates the voice. It's unlike anything else. What is it like for you as a singer who has a broad range and sings all kinds of repertoire? What is Mahler like for you?
For me, Mahler is always a little bit like, I don't know, like a hot bath in melted chocolate or something. It's like something incredibly warming and caressing and exciting at the same time. And I just think Mahler writes so beautifully for the human voice. I never feel that it's sort of a struggle, or you never really have to sort of technically think that much about it, but you can sort of just open your mouth and sing like a folk song. And a lot of his melodies, his songs are actually either based on folk tunes or at least folk poetry, like in this case. And he writes melodies that sound like they could already be folk songs, but often he's actually invented them himself. And then they might have become folk songs later, like in Schubert, like Schubert did as well, a couple of decades before. So I think Mahler just has this incredible sensitivity and sensibility of sort of plucking the heartstrings and really accessing the very sort of basic human need of a strong melody, but then he becomes incredibly complex in the treatment of orchestral colors underneath, and also some of the like interludes that go sort of off on a tangent and a quite wild harmonic development and stuff, like in this very last movement, Wir genießen die himmlischen Freuden, which is the fourth movement of the symphony, which is with soprano. So you're basically the cherry on the cake at the end and you try not to ruin what the orchestra basically created in these many, many, many minutes before.
Which you are on stage for, I presume.
Well, yeah, that's the question, you know. So I've done this symphony quite often, and some conductors, you know, you just have to coordinate this with the conductor, with the artistic director of the orchestra, when they would like you to appear. So some conductors like you to sit there for the whole third movement. But that means you have to appear between movement two and three, and then you sort of have applause in between, usually, because when people see a new artist enter the stage, there automatically is applause, which I personally think is a bit of a shame. I really like to appear during the big climax at the end of the third movement, which is incredible. It's, I think, E major, and it just sort of explodes in the orchestra like a big sort of breath of fresh air. And then the door opens and you walk in and nobody would applaud because it's in the middle of the music. And it's like, and then you stand there for a few more minutes, but it's not this kind of sitting there beforehand for that extremely long period of time, although the music is amazing and it's wonderful. But then you sort of end up maybe becoming a little bit stiff or a little bit nervous or just a little bit not on the ball. I sort of kind of like to come in sort of more at the end of the movement and be really fresh and start with my first note. So I'll be surprised. I'll let myself be surprised of how we'll actually arrange that then in March.
Now, you mentioned that you come in at the end of the work. Talk about the role of the voice in Mahler 4?
So I think it's sort of in a way basically written with a kind of boy soprano, angelic sort of type of voice in mind. Although, to my knowledge, originally I think it was world premiered by a woman, but it has been performed with boy soprano before. I think it's very important that you do have a kind of, let's say, more simple sort of folksy, boy soprano-y sound in the voice, something very pure and very direct, and not something too operatic and, let's say, with too much vibrato or too much tremolo in the voice. I think that's quite important for the interpretation, because it is actually an angel speaking to the sort of telling a story from the heavens, you know, and I don't think it should be too earthly or too profane, you know.
Have you worked with Gustavo Gimeno before?
Actually, I haven't, and I'm really, really excited about this, because we know each other. We've known each other privately for quite a long time, and we've been sort of working towards this residency, and now I'm actually super excited to finally encounter him and finally sort of, you know, get my teeth into the repertoire with him and get to know his interpretation of these pieces and finding a mutual interpretation. I think that's sort of a really, really exciting journey.
Well, it's a fabulous program, and it sounds like you're going to have a wonderful week with the TSO. Anna Prohaska, Thank you so much.
I'm so looking forward. Thank you so much for the invitation.